Hey! Greetings, fellow makers. Welcome to Prop Live Q&A, your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. This is where I take your questions, your prop and costume technique questions, and answer them to the best of my ability. I'm Bill, the prop and costume maker over here at Punished Props. This week, you're stuck with me. It's just me. We don't have any guests. Brittany's upstairs, so it's me. And we've got some questions coming in. And I figured I'd point out also, while I have you here, that the way that you submit questions, and you can do this anytime, you don't have to do it while we're live. You just head on over to punishprops.com/live. That's where all our live information is. There's a little form over there. Just fill it out. Put your name in there. Put a topic, maybe. Put your question. And a little thing there, prove you're not a robot. And that will email you our question. Again, anytime during the week, you can go over there and submit a question for the next week's show. So if you're working on a thing and you got a question, you want a little bit of insight, you can send your question in there. Even if you don't catch the show live, odds are good I'll still answer the question. You can go back and watch it after the fact, because these shows go up on our second YouTube channel. That's the Punished Props Extras channel. We also have an audio feed. Every post that goes up on our website has a link to the podcast audio feed there. You can also subscribe to that on iTunes. Many of you guys probably didn't know that, but this goes up in audio form on iTunes. Let's see, what do we have going on today? Just me. Brittany has started populating our notes because she's awesome, and she thinks I should talk about the new Destiny 2 trailers. And I agree, because they're really good. If you guys haven't seen them yet, obviously you guys know that we've done some Destiny costumes already. I've got Lord Shax right there in my helmet. Brittany did a Vex Goblin a little while ago. And there we go. So we're hyped about Destiny. Destiny 2 is coming out. The trailer heavily features Nathan Fillion, a.k.a. Cade. And it's just great. It's just a really, really good trailer. There's two of them. There's a teaser, and then there's a longer trailer. They're both really good. They both heavily feature Nathan Fillion. So I recommend you go watch those. Go check it out. Oh, apparently it's going to be on PC as well. People are asking if I'm going to play on PC. I don't know. I really enjoyed playing it on the PlayStation, because then I can sit on the couch. Brittany has a PlayStation, so that's how we played. So I'll probably play it on PC or PlayStation. We'll see. Hold on. You have to sneeze. Thought I had to sneeze. It'll come back. Don't worry. All right, Destiny 2 trailer coming out. Obviously, lots of new things they'll probably have in there that I want to build. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. Other than that, we have a ton of conventions coming up. I made a note here. I need to update my convention appearances page on the old punishprops.com. But I'll give you guys a rundown. Here's something coming up for the next month or so. Star Wars Celebration. Brittany and I will be there. We'll have some form of costume. But we'll be there for the Friday and Saturday of Star Wars Celebration. We're going to go check that out. I'm excited. I've never been to Star Wars Celebration. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm super stoked. So that's coming up mid-April. After that, there's Silicon Valley Comic Con. I guess the only thing I can say about my appearance is that I will be there. Can't tell you what or why or who, but I will be there. So if you're in the area, in the Bay Area, you might want to go to Silicon Valley Comic Con. After that, I'm going to South Texas Comic Con. So if you are in the very tippy tip bottom of Texas, then I'll be a guest at the Silicon Valley or at the South Texas Comic Con, April 20th through 30th. Then after that, I'm going the other way. I'm going to Canada. Brittany and I will be up at Northern Fan Con in Prince George, Canada. That's May 5th through 7th. And then later on in May, we will be in New York City at Construct. I went there a couple years ago. They skipped a year. They're doing it again. They're having me and Brittany out. We'll be doing demos. We'll have a booth, panels, and all that fun stuff. So if you're in the New York City area, come see us. It's really cool. They have it at the Complete Sculptor in New York City. That place is awesome. It's worth the trip just to see that store and spend all of your money there because they have all the cool stuff. That's it. That is, I'm sure there's other stuff. We'll be at DragonCon, obviously. We'll be at BlizzCon, like we usually are. But those are the ones coming up in the next month or two. So Dagger Elk in the chat is very excited about Construct. That's awesome. So is Nerdy Views. Good. I'm excited to see you guys there. Cool. That is about it. I got some questions. I have some prop and costume related questions, and I'm going to start answering them. But you guys watching live, send more questions. We need more questions. So go ahead, go to punishprops.com/live, submit your questions there, and I will answer them. I'm going to just dive right in, start chewing through some of these questions. First one comes from Kazara Digital. Are you psyched for Star Wars Celebration? Yes, I am. I've never been to one. I saw videos and stuff from the last one they had when it was in LA, and I missed that somehow. And it looked amazing. I especially like the big set pieces that they made. They had like a giant sand crawler. They had some indoor scenes where you could go hang out, have your picture taken, and it looked amazing. So yes, I am very excited about Star Wars Celebration. And then Kazara Digital also wants to know, does video editing get easier once you've had practice? I want to make videos about cosplay, but I'm not the best editor. Yes. Like most things, the more you do it, not only will you get better at it, but you'll get faster at it. Even now, we have over 500 videos on our YouTube channel, which is a staggering amount of videos for one man to edit. I've done that over, you know, the last 4 years or so. But even now, I still learn little tips and tricks and stuff to alter my workflow to be quicker at it. And I'm sure there's lots of other stuff I could be doing to be a lot faster. But you kind of learn that stuff as you go. You learn what you need to know at your own pace. But more than anything, you just got to put in the hours. So yeah, once you've done a couple hundred videos, you'll get super quick at it. So keep at it. Just keep working at it. Video editing is the sort of thing that really does take the time. It just, especially when you're getting started, it is a huge time sink. Today I was editing a video. Let's see, I wrote down my hours. It was about 2 hours worth of video. I was able to edit down to about 45 minutes. That took me 3.5 hours, and I'm pretty quick at it. So just so you know, you got to put in the hours. I will say that as you film and edit, the more you do it, the more you'll learn how to film stuff in a way that makes it easier for you to edit, kind of developing your own style. But again, you're not going to learn that until you put in the hours and the time. Good questions, Kazara Digital, and keep up the video stuff. Not going to get any better at it unless you just keep doing it. Next one. This one comes in from Dagger Elk. Have you seen the new Destiny 2 trailers? Thoughts? And again, I'm going to reiterate, yes, we did see them and they looked incredible. I'm glad you're excited, Dagger Elk. Next one comes from Gorgonzola. Hey, Bill, I finished a prop gun recently and I was wondering if you could give your opinion about painting. I was wondering if there's a technique to avoid the brush mark look without an airbrush. Mine looked kind of like it was brushed on. So your options are either to get an airbrush, which I highly recommend. My buddy Joel, the 3D printing nerd, was here the other night, and I believe I convinced him. Actually, let me check. I convinced him to buy an airbrush, and I told him just go get the one from Harbor Freight. And sure enough, yes, he sent me this picture. He was at Harbor Freight, and he got the kit that they have there. For $85, airbrush compressor with airbrush kit. So that's the best option. But there is a lot you can get away with using spray paint. The thing with spray paint is you'll do a lot of kind of trial and error and figure out what your favorite brands are and what's available to you. But if you want to avoid brush marks, then spraying on the paint is the best way to do it. So you may just have to get spray paint. Now, if you go to a hobby store, they have specialty paints there, like specialty acrylics and stuff, or lacquers, the example, Testers has their metallizer lacquers that I like so very much. Now, I get them in the little bottles and use them in my airbrush, but they are also available in a spray paint can. It's a little spray paint can. Tamiya similarly has some of their paints available in a spray paint can. So head on over to your local hobby store and see what they have available, both in little brushes that are or little bottles for airbrush, but also what they have in little spray paint cans. So there you go. The answer for you, Gorgonzola, is to spray your paint in whatever form that takes. Let's see. Hey Patch in the chat is chiming in on video editing to jump back real quick. He says the number one trick for video editing is arrive late and leave early, meaning cut just after the action starts and cut away just before it ends. Sounds weird, but trust me, it works. Sounds like you're getting very cinematic with your videos there, Hey Patch. Which, by the way, everyone, Hey Patch makes videos. He does those every once in a while, and if you haven't seen them, you can go look up Hey Patch on YouTube and check them out. All right, moving on. Couple more questions. Again, get those questions in. PunishPops.com/live. Because if I run out of questions, then I'm probably just going to... I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll just pick a book, one of these books over here, and start reading it. Probably the one about Wolverine. Ruben has a question. I'm moving soon to another country, and I'm going to live in a small apartment. I want to know if there's a way I can have a clean mini workshop in my future living room. I'm going to buy 2 3D printers for my props, so I want to know a way to sand, paint, and mold without making it a disaster. I paint with spray and airbrush. One of the best things you can do, and let me find the article on it. My buddy Will over at WM Armory wrote a really good article a while back on, let's see here. Tips, I think, on making a small sanding booth, I think is probably the best thing you could call it, a dust collection box. So I'm dropping this in the chat, but we'll leave this in the show notes as well. So this is basically a large Tupperware container that's been cut up so that you've got access to, and then he attached a vacuum to one side of it, just a shop vac or any kind of vacuum you might have. And built out a little dust collection box. So this is the sort of thing you could have in your apartment. He even cut out the top so you can see light through there. But basically, then you can do all of your sanding and all of your... You may even be able to modify this to be a spray booth, like do painting and stuff. Basically, it keeps everything contained in that box, and then you run the vacuum to, you know, to keep the dust from escaping, essentially. There you go. So we'll link to that article. You can go check it out. Again, you can probably modify that to help you with your make it into a little spray booth for painting. As long as you're not moving a ton of paint or a lot of like spray paint or anything, little things. You'd be able to paint little things in there. So, yeah, that's a really cool thing you could build for yourself. You can use it as storage when you're not actively sanding stuff or painting stuff in it. And there you go. It's super cheap. You can put one together all by yourself. Thank you, Ruben, for the question. Let's move on to the next one. That guy named Doom wants to know. I'm starting on the God Emperor from Warhammer. I don't know what that is, but he has provided a picture. My goodness. That is a giant, giant set of armor. And a giant flaming sword. Alright. That's pretty cool. And the question is, are there any templates or sites with information that would be helpful for this large armor? There is. I can't recall the name of the website, Warhammer Costume Group, maybe? Hey, the 3D printer just finished. Here it is, Obscurus Crusade. That's what it is. That's the website where people go to talk about armor and costumes and stuff from Warhammer. So obscuruscrusade.com/forum is the place. Here we go. they've got all kinds of stuff. We won't dive into it now, but if you go over there and just bury yourself in the forums, I'm sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for, or someone who can help you out. If you're looking for a build to follow, the one I usually default to is our buddy Gary Sturley, Gary Sturley Studios. And he does, he's got a build up there on his page up on Facebook, and I'm just slowly making my way through it until I find it. Let's look at all the albums that he has, because he has an album showing his armor from start to finish, all the way. Warhammer 40K. First build, where is it? Space Marine Construction. So if we head on over here, you can see everything you need to know. Well, I'll link to this in the show notes. You guys can go check that out. So there you go. All of your Warhammer needs satisfied with a couple of links. Those will, again, all be in the show notes. And I'm dropping that in the chat. If you're watching live, you can go check that out. Good luck. That is an incredibly ambitious build. Start early. It's going to take you a long time to build. But have fun. Have fun. We're all just trying to have fun. Thank you, that guy named Doom. Next one comes from Anime Panda. Do you have a method to get rid of bubbles in clear casting without a vacuum chamber? Technically, what you would want is a pressure pot. Instead of pulling the bubbles out, you would be compressing the bubbles to be very tiny. You can use different... Actually, I'm going to show you a video I watched last night. Let's see here. It was a DIY prop shop. A Jurassic Park prop of all things. Let's see here. This is... All right, let's check it out. Play. Vinny made the amber from... where is it? This guy. The amber thing at the end of the staff. That's what we want. So he cast that. He molded and cast it. He made a silicone mold, which is awesome. And then he cast it using a casting resin, a clear casting resin, but it's, I believe, an epoxy. And it takes something like 4 hours to cure this stuff here. Could be clear cast or any number of different casting materials. It's not linked. It's not linked in there. But I will share that video, and I will also share, where are my notes? The material. So if we go to Smooth On's website, we can go check out, here, let's go on this journey together. I've got Smooth On's website open. You can get, like, for example, SmoothCast 325 cures... mostly clear, but it cures quickly and it captures bubbles. So you want something that cures very slowly. So if we look up clear, crystal clear, optically clear liquid plastic, something like that. Or sort of clear. We want crystal clear. There we go. That is super shiny and super clear. The thing to think about, they show that right on their website too. Well, again, we'll link to all of this in the show notes. But how thick the material is depends on which product you're going to get, and it's all listed right there. It shows the pot time and the curing time, so or the pot life and the curing time. So, for example, Crystal Clear 200 pot life of 20 minutes, cure time 16 hours. Some of them are even more. Crystal Clear 204 is 48 hours, and that's for thicker pieces. It just takes a really long time to cure. But because you have that long curing time with these resins, that gives the mold time. It gives the resin time for bubbles to escape. So there you go. Really long-winded answer. Use Crystal Clear from Smooth On and give yourself a lot of time. Now, Rocket Man Props is in the chat. He does a lot of this stuff. He says he has pretty good results so long as he stirs gently and then pokes the surface with a stirring stick. to knock the bubbles off the surface of the mold, and then scooping up large bubbles to raise to the surface. If you guys have more questions, or you want to see more stuff, clear casting things like gems, check out Rocket Man Props. He does a lot of that stuff. Let's see here. People are curious about the how toxic this stuff is. Yeah, I wouldn't sleep in the same room as it while it's curing. But anyway, if you go look on SmoothOn's website, there's all kinds of stuff. Now, if you do want to do, like I said, SmoothCast 325 is really good. It cures fairly quickly. You can get a pressure pot, and it will squeeze the bubbles all nice and tiny and make clear-looking stuff. So if you do want to make that investment, that's another way to do it. So there you go, Anime Panda. Everything you wanted to know about casting stuff clear. And so much more. Thanks for the question. Let's see here. We have... we only have like 5 or 6 more questions in the hopper here, everyone. So if you're watching live, go to punishprops.com/live and submit your questions. If we get through these, I might just start taking questions straight from the chat. We'll see. Maybe we'll go off the rails and just have a good time. Just have fun grabbing some quick fire questions from the chat. Let's see. Nostalgia wants to know, any tips on making some small Viking horns for my son's EVA Viking helmet? I was thinking paper mache EVA pattern or carve from foam. How should I attach the horns onto the helmet? Well, you're in luck, because our buddy Evil Ted made a horn video. Oh. There it is. Evil Ted horns. So if you just look up Evil Ted horns, you'll find the video. But I'm going to show you anyway. He made ram horns. Those are really complicated. But these normal foam horns here. Hey, it's Evil Ted. This is the video to go check out for how to make horns. So there you go. Well, essentially, these patterns are designed to cut out of foam. EVA foam, flat. Pieces of EVA foam, and then you stitch them together, glue them together with contact cement along the edges to, you see he had 4 pieces there to form these complex curves, and they look really great. This is a template you could modify or just use the ends of them if you wanted to, and then just put some glue along the bottom of it. Oh, Ted's got his torch out there. Just put some contact cement along the edge of it and glue it to your helmet. You're good to go. So, there you go. Hey Patch. Hey Patch made a horn tutorial too. Very good, Hey Patch. We'll check that out as well. So, there you go. Couple of good resources for you there for making horns. There, and again, there are many, many different ways to do it. You could sculpt it out of a rigid foam. I went with the EVA foam one because Ted made a video and it made it makes it really easy. Let's see here. Oh, there's Hey Patch. How to make horns. We'll add that. Well, that one will be in the show notes too. And looks like he did most of it out of cardboard. And there you go. Cardboard horns. Cardboard and hot glue. That's all you need. Very good. We'll share that as well. Thank you for contributing, Hey Patch. Oops. Where did that go? Where did my notes go? Oh, there it is. I pasted the wrong thing. I'm screwing up the notes. Anyway, it just goes to show that there are many different ways to make the same thing. So don't get super attached to one particular technique. Make do with what you have. All right, let's keep moving here. The next one here is from Rachel. Question 1, have you had a chance to play with a Glowforge, or is it just too much hype and not cool enough for you? I already have a laser. Here, I'll show you. I bought the 5th gen hobby laser from Full Spectrum a number of years ago, and it works awesome. So I don't really have a reason to try out the Glowforge, because lasers are lasers. It cuts material out. It doesn't do It's basically the same specs as my laser, so it can't do thicker material. The only thing it has is the camera, which is a neat feature. It's a bonus, but I don't need it. It doesn't do anything extra with the material. It's just a convenient feature. So I haven't really had an impulse to try out the Glowforge. But laser cutters are really cool, and I hope that everyone who supported the Kickstarter for the Glowforge gets theirs soon, because it's a really, for the price that they were offering it for their Kickstarter contributors, it's a lot of machine. So I'm excited to see what people get to make with theirs when they come out. Let's see. Question two. How can we get you to come to Phoenix Comic Con? I was there a couple of years ago. But the best way to do it, here, I'll show everyone. Ready? Where's my website? Go to punishprops.com. Loading. Up at the top, we have the convention appearances page that I desperately need to update. Because I have to add some stuff to it. But over here on the left, there is a form that people can fill out if they want to get a hold of me to have me at their show. Now, here's the kicker. You got to have someone from the convention fill this form out. Someone who has the authority to invite me to their convention. So you get a hold of the people that run Phoenix Comic Con and tell them, hey, we think this guy Bill is pretty cool. He should be a guest. He can come judge our costume contest. He can run panels. He can do all sorts of cool stuff. Then send them to that page. punishprops.com/convention-appearances. That's where you go. So I have people, fans, who fill that form out and email me. And I say, great. Can you make the decision? No? Okay. Well, get a hold of the people at the convention who can make that decision. And have them get a hold of me. And I would be happy to come back to Phoenix, Arizona in the deathly heat of the desert and have fun with you guys at your convention. So there you go. That's how the convention appearances thing works. All right, let's move on. Thank you, Rachel, for the question. Next one comes from Rev Chumley. Have you considered building your own custom 3D printer for larger pop-up costume builds? No, I have not. My buddy Joel has a G-Max. It is very big, and if I need to print anything gigantic, he will let me borrow it. So the headache of building a 3D printer myself doesn't seem worth it to me. The next batch of 3D printing videos that we do, I will be going for a more budget option on the printer. I think that'd be a benefit to our viewers, which means I will probably be getting a kit of some kind. So at the very least, I will be assembling a printer, which should be an adventure all on its own. Making a new one from scratch to totally custom sounds like a nightmare. It's just not the kind of challenge that I feel up to right now. I would prefer to have the machine either assembled or mostly assembled so that I can get busy making stuff. That's just kind of my jam. Are you building a printer from scratch, Rev? Because that would be kind of cool to check out from a distance. Thanks, Rev. Next one comes from Hulkingard. Excuse me. Let me get a quick sip of my tasty water. When starting on a complicated weapon prop, where do you typically begin in the planning process? I get as many reference images as I can. If it's something from a video game and it's possible for me to get some form of 3D model of that, I try and do that. For example, on the Boolean Gemini, I went and found there's a Destiny STL generator website. Just Google that, you'll find it. You can get the low poly model of just about everything in the game. Now, that's a crap model to print, and I wanted to model my own anyway, but what it did for me was it gave me good scale, thickness for all the parts, and then I drew up blueprints. Usually for every prop, I draw blueprints. And as I'm drawing the blueprints, measuring things out, kind of going through the build in my head. This is before I've purchased any materials. This is before anything has been cut out. I draw everything. I layer everything. I try and figure out the thicknesses of everything and how it's going to be assembled before I get, elbows deep in EVA foam. That's where I get started, especially, like you said, if it's a complicated weapon prop. If there are a lot of pieces to it, I try and figure out, can I build this in, like, sub-assemblies? Is this other part of it, draw part of the gun or prop or whatever over here? Kind of break that out and make it its own thing, work on that by itself. Can I? Do I need to have one part started so that I can figure out kind of the scale or proportion for the rest of it? All of that stuff gets figured out on paper or digitally beforehand. So that's how I start. That's a good question. Thank you very much, Halkengard. Let's keep moving here. You guys are bringing the good stuff today. Thank you so much. Chrysostom. Chrysostom. You know, every time I try and pronounce it, I goof up, and I apologize. But thank you for contributing. Chrysostom. I think I nailed it. I'm currently working on a full foam build of a gender-bent Maximus costume from Gladiator. Maximus Decimus Meridius. For those of you guys who haven't watched that movie 100 times like I have, this guy. Oh, yeah. All right. Some Russell Crowe action going on. Let's see. I have been currently sculpting the silver details in monster clay. What's the best material to cast them in so they are flexible and durable? Trying to wean myself off Warbler and epoxy sculpt. So let's see, the silver details. So those are all the, on his chest there, the horses and the tree and the, what is that, winged creature? There we go. The best material to cast it, if you're going to mold it and cast it, you can get, now if you go to, Smoothon's website, what you'll look for is the durometer of something. So, for example, Smoothcast 65D. 65D is the durometer. It's how rigid it is. You can get, basically, urethane is urethane. It's a resin. And depending on where it is in the durometer scale is whether or not it's a rubber or a plastic. So, a low durometer urethane might be your option. Now you can get it doesn't need to be super flexible for your chest piece, so like a durometer of like 50 might be fine. And also I quickly want to point out too, if you're looking for a specific type of material, like a casting material, you can get a hold of the folks at Smoothon and they will be happy to help you find exactly the product that you want. But what if we just look up rubber on the website? On the Smoothon website, we've got all kinds of stuff. Body double is silicone. I wouldn't recommend silicone because it's hard to glue it to stuff. There we go. So like Mold Max, those are all silicones. But if you look up urethane rubber, you'll find... Let's see here. Polyurethane rubber compounds, how to repair a torn urethane mold. There's all kinds of fun stuff. Rheoflex, Vitaflex is 50. So here we go. Durometer. So Vitaflex 30, 50, 40, 60. Those are how flexible they are. So Vitaflex 30 is going to be super duper flexible. So there you go. Go talk to the folks at Smoothon. They'll help you find out exactly what you want for your rubber. They can also help you figure out what adhesives you might need to glue it to whatever you're going to make the rest of the chest piece out of, unless you're going to cast the whole chest piece, which would be crazy but awesome. Thank you, Chrysostom cosplay, and moving on to the next question. Brian, aka Dr. Constantine, wants to know, what's your opinion on XTC 3D? Would you use it as a supplement to sanding? I would sand it after, unless I need it to be shiny, I would sand it afterwards. Then do you use it before sanding to reduce the sanding work or afterwards to level out things after some low grit sanding? Couple of things. Some things I've found out. I use XTC 3D when it makes sense to use it. You need to sand the surface. I've found, anyway, you need to sand the surface of your 3D printed piece at least a little bit, so that the epoxy the XTC has something to grab onto. I've put it on prints before and had it peel off. Even after it's fully cured, it will peel off the print. So that's just something to keep in mind. I would just rough up the surface a tiny bit with some high grit sandpaper, like a sanding sponge, then put it on just to be sure, and then sand it after that. Unless, again, like I said, if you have something that's really kind of organic and you want it to have a shine to it, you could just brush on a ton of XTC 3D. It's self-leveling, so it should fill in those print lines, and then you'll have this nice shiny shell on the piece that you're making. Now, if you don't want it to be super shiny, you gotta sand it down to whatever finish that you want on it. But if it's supposed to look super shiny, then you're done. So there you go. It always comes down to what is the finish you're trying to accomplish with your prop. Is it shiny like this glass? Is it shiny like that? Is it kind of, well, there's a little bit of a shine from my fingers on there. It's kind of like still a little bit shiny. But the rubberized grip part of my mouse is very much a matte finish. So it depends on what you're trying to accomplish, that fine finishing work. Thanks for the question, Brian. Let's keep going. Here's our buddy Nerdy Views. I've gotten into a bad habit of getting near the end of a project and going, whatever, I don't care anymore. Any tips on how to power through that feeling? I'll tell you what, giving myself deadlines helps. Just telling myself this has to be done. Everything I do is for a video usually, and I always have to put out a video every single week. So that means I have to finish it. I just have to. My job and income and livelihood depends on it. So I found when there's consequences to not finishing the project, I finish the project. So yeah, something else you can do too is, like, if you're building a costume, and it's going to be for a group costume and other people are counting on you, then you have an incentive to get it finished. So maybe commit, tell the internet and your friends that you're going to make it, and then they'll be disappointed if you don't make it. So then you have an incentive. But yeah, it's all about just creating incentives for yourself. For me, I know once I start painting a project, once I get to that point, I will absolutely finish it. Because once I'm putting paint on it, like, that's when everything gets fun. It's not that the rest of the process isn't fun, but the painting is where you see results. You see things come together. You get to do weathering. Everything starts to pop and look real. So push yourself to get to that point and then kind of coast on the fun stuff at the end there. But really, it's about creating incentives for yourself. Thank you, Nerdy Views. And thank you, everyone, too, for cranking on the questions. We got a bunch of them. You guys are awesome. Awesome people like Nick over at Modulus Props. Hi, Nick. Nick has been on a quest for decent work lights for his basement shop. Something that's bright with good color balance, but not too hot or expensive. I've been using cheap clamp lights with LED bulbs. They do all right. Do you have any favorites? I fully admit that the lighting situation in our shop is kind of chaotic. We just kept buying lights, and every time I went to buy lights, I got different lights. So there's fluorescent lights. Most of the light in there are fluorescent. But then there's clamp lights, and I got all the same bulbs for all my clamp lights, and eventually they all broke, or some of them broke, and I forgot what bulbs I bought, so I put different bulbs in there. So some of them are really warm, some of them are really cold, some of them are compact fluorescent, some of them are incandescent, some of them are LED. Kind of a mixed bag in there. At some point, we'll either move or we'll just gut everything and put the same lights in all the fixtures. I don't know, but right now it's kind of crazy. Most of the lights, though, are fluorescent fixtures. You can get LED bulbs that go in fluorescent fixtures, and I think that's probably one of the better solutions. But again, I have all these fluorescent bulbs that I bought, and I haven't used them all yet, so I can't really justify just throwing away good bulbs until they've all died. So there, maybe just invest in a couple of good fluorescent fixtures and put some good color temperature LED fluorescent fixture sized bulbs in them. Yeah, sounds good. All right. Thank you, Nick. Good question. Let's keep going here. Let's see. Next question comes to us from Maker Geek. How do you ventilate your office for 3D printer stuff? I don't really. Most of my printers are in a box, though. I built a box around them, so they're kind of contained. He lives in a small apartment in Chicago. Open windows in winter is not good. It's mostly using PLA, but I also want to use NinjaFlex and nylon. As far as I know, there's not. I haven't heard much about like open 3D printers and you're just going in your office being toxic in any way. Maybe in a couple of years we'll learn that's not the case. Not really sure. But it's not a bad idea to just build a box, a fully contained box around your 3D printer anyway. Just to keep it nice and warm. So that might be a good solution for you. Just, you could even make it out of foam core if you wanted to and hot glue. But it's just a box. When the printer's going, you just put that over it. It'll keep any, if there are any fumes, it'll keep them in there. And it'll also keep your print nice and warm. Especially, like you said, if you open a window, if you get a draft coming through, it's not going to affect your print. That is actually a problem, too. We have a door right there. In the winter, I was opening the door, and a draft would come in, and with an open printer like this behind me, the draft would come in, and the piece would peel right off the print bed. So that's a real problem. Thank you. Thank you, Maker Geek. Next one here. Oh, well, also, maybe put a piece of acrylic plastic on the front of your box so you can actually see into the print while it's going. That's a good idea, too. All right. Darren wants to know. Let's see here. Your foam smith armor book is making my Star Wars Rogue One K2SO Pupple build possible. That's fantastic. I really want to see. Oh, he's got an RPF. Is this it? RPF thread? Wait, that's... yes. Let's zip on over there. RPF. Look at that. Little foam K2SO puppet. Look at... You even put an animated GIF. That's amazing. This is suddenly my favorite thing on the internet. That's awesome. You got to be kidding me. That's really cool. What's your question? It looks like you have it figured out, man. Oh, how do you estimate how long a foam project will take? I feel like I'm always over optimistic in what I can accomplish per day. I just build a lot of stuff, so I kind of have a pretty good idea what I can accomplish in a certain amount of time. It really just comes from practice. And what I generally tell people is try and kind of figure out how long it might take you, and then double that. Just double that number. Start twice as early as you think you need to, because it's going to take twice as long usually. If you're tackling anything that's a new skill or working with a new material, give yourself even more time. Time for lots of trial and error. So yeah, there you go. The answer to your question, Darren. Estimate how long it'll take, and then double it. Next one. This is our buddy again, that guy named Doom. More questions about the Warhammer costume. For the eagle designs, should I make them from foam, or should I sculpt them or carve them? That's up to you. That depends on what material you have access to, what tools you have access to, what techniques you're most confident in. Do you want to learn a new technique? It's a good excuse to buy a new tool or try a new material or experiment with a new technique. It's up to you, that guy named Doom. It's up to you. I would probably sculpt it out of epoxy sculpt, because I have a ton of epoxy sculpt. I need a reason to use it. Cult of Casey says, have you tried sealing foam in Flex Seal? It's a clear rubberized leak sealer. It's kind of expensive, but I saw a can the other day and I got curious. Nope, haven't had a chance to grab it and try it. Mostly because we've done lots of experimenting. We did a video on that. And now I have my favorite, my axe back there and my mechanist are sealed in latex. And that's my personal favorite method. So I just kind of use that always. Yes. At some point, we may experiment more with different ways to seal foam. But right now, pretty happy with what I got. Thank you, Cult of Casey. Next one comes from Les. I'm currently designing a huge 3D print, an Atlas mech from Battletech, that when it is finished, it will stand 6 feet tall. Holy crap. I have shoulders about 5 feet across. I'm having some doubts as to whether PLA will be able to stand its own weight on a project this large. Should I put a more rigid skeleton or frame inside it? And what would be a good material to make it out of? I have no idea. I am not shy about telling you that is an ambitious project, and I have no idea. The only thing I can tell you that might help is to go on over to X-Robots, James Bruton, over on YouTube. If you just look up, here we go. James built a almost completely 3D printed, let's go to playlists here. Where is it? Does he not have it? Oh, he's got 30 more. Okay, so he did a giant... Why can't I find it? He did Iron Man. He did Hulkbuster. Why can't I find it? Anyway, he did a Hulkbuster costume, almost completely 3D printed. Now, a lot of the larger panels were done with EVA foam, which makes sense. But for the most part, why can't I find it? Hulkbuster. I'm just going to search his channel for Hulkbuster. Here we go. Oh, he did. This is basically a wrap-up video. So there you go. A lot of it, many parts were 3D printed. I think some of the structural stuff, though, he did. Yeah, you can see he did some stuff with wood. So it was kind of a mixed material project for a lot of it. But anyway, I'll share that video. There's a whole playlist. It's exhaustive. There's tons of stuff there. And you can go check that out. And you can slowly cry. It took him, I think, 2 or 3 years. All right, Les, thanks for the question. Good luck on your giant print. I'm excited to see how it turns out. Go check out James' video. All right, Red Roses says, I'm making a TV head. What would be a good way to see through the TV screen part? Ah, this guy here. This is from Fooly Gooly, I believe. I would make a panel inside that face part that is just a sheer black cloth. That's how we covered our eye holes for the Draugr costumes that we did. So you could have a sheer black cloth and then a shiny piece of plastic in front of it for the screen, so you get that shine. So long as there's no light inside the helmet, people can't see in, but you'll be able to see out just fine. That's how I would do it. Or you go crazy, you could vacuum form your screen, you could tint it using eye dye poly, you could go that way. But the easier method would be with a sheer black cloth. Very good. Thank you, Red Roses, for the question. We got just a couple more here. We'll call it good. I see people getting kind of rowdy in the chat. I see Core Geek and SKS Props hanging out in there. Hi, guys. I hope you are well. Let's go with the next question. Hellfire Zombie says, what is the one prop you're looking or you're longing to make but haven't yet? His is a full-size TARDIS. I have a list. Let me look at my list here. All right. I'll tell you what. There's a couple of them. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I want to do. I need to organize my list better. I've just got Evernote open right now. And I'm trying to figure out... I need to make, like, sub folders. Just one giant list of projects. I can't find it. Anyway, I have a list somewhere of all the projects I want to work on. And one of them is probably it's a gun. It's a space gun. Who'd have thought? Vash the Stampede Revolver. There we go. I've wanted that since I watched that anime when it freaking came out like 20 years ago. So, and I want to make it like open and transform and spin and have all the moving pieces and everything. So there you go. There's one that I've been longing to make. Vash the Stampede Revolver. Thank you, Hellfire Zombie, for the question. Let's grab this last one here from Aiden. When it comes to melee-type weapons used for combat in films and just in general practice, foam seems to be the go-to material. Would you happen to know of a resin that can sustain such abuse? This sounds to me like a really good question for the folks over at Smooth On. That's right. I'm looking up the word impact. Impact-resistant tooling resin task. Let's see here. Task 15 says that it is impact-resistant. 57D. Here's a how-to on it using 57D. Claims that it is impact-resistant. And there's a video of someone hitting it with a hammer. That's a pretty good, it's a pretty good test right there. I actually watched this video a couple weeks ago. So you know what? I'll just link to that video. Do I open it? Watch on YouTube. There we go. Smooth On. So 5070 seems like it's pretty good, pretty impact resistant. Because here he is hitting it with a hammer. Yeah. Yeah, I think that'll do it for you. He's just nailing that thing with a hammer. It worked just fine. All right. There you go. He rotocast that helmet out of 57D. So 65D is at one durometer. 57 is a little bit lower, and because it's more flexible, it's more impact resistant. It's going to bend instead of breaking. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Aiden, and thank you everyone else for bringing questions today. Woo. You guys are fantastic. Our wonderful prop tarts. And you know what? I should probably shout out the prop tart Facebook page, if I can find it here. We have over 2,000 members, which is bonkers. 2,500 members. You guys are awesome. If you're looking for a fun place to go, hang out with other makers, see what everyone's working on. There's this pinned post here. They're doing the Prop Yourself Challenge this month, doing prop gun mods. Go over to the Prop Tart page and join it. There we go. Prop Tart Bot just shared it in the chat. Awesome. So go hang out with the fellow Prop Tarts. Go make friends. And be awesome. That's all I have for this week, you guys. Thank you again so much for joining me on this episode of Prop Live Q&A. We'll be doing it again next week. Be sure to see you there. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out. And we'll see you next week.